and Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 842 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know, I've got another fun episode lined up for us. In today's show, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out, we'll talk about those free seeds later on in today's episode. If you are listening to this episode the day it comes out, that would be Saturday, June 22nd. Today is the day of the Secret Stash. That's right, big shout out to our friends Groovy Gravy for throwing the Secret Stash event in Denver, Colorado. That event will be happening in the Rhino District. There are a lot of great events happening in the Rhino District today. Stop by the Secret Stash, say hello. If you come by the booth and let me know that you heard this message on the podcast, I will give you a free prize. I do look forward to seeing you at the Secret Stash. If you would like to stay updated when there are more events like the Secret Stash or the Dude Groves Cup coming up, all you have to do is go to my website and join the mailing list. If you scroll down to the bottom of the website, there is a tab that says Stay Up to Date. Type in your email address, hit send. You will then join the mailing list. When there are events coming up, I will send out a newsletter and let you know where iRegenetics will be. You can come out. You can grab some seeds in person. You can give me a fist bump and possibly get a free prize for knowing the secret password for listening to the podcast. To join that mailing list, go to my website. It is iRegenetics.com. That mailing list tab will be down at the bottom. Scroll down, type in your email address, hit send, and you will get updates. You will also get updates when I do fresh drops, when I put out new releases, when I do a sale. I like to keep you updated when I have things going on with iRegenetics.com or iRedirect. So join that newsletter on iRegenetics.com. The most recent newsletter that I sent out was about a blowout sale on iRedirect.com. That's right, we are approaching the middle of the year. I want to do a full inventory on iRedirect.com. I want to make sure the numbers on iRedirect match the actual stash I've got set aside for the website. And I don't want to count all of those boxes. I don't want to do all the numbers on the website. So what I would prefer is to put them on sale and let you guys grab all of those packs so there's nothing left for me to count. So what I have done is I've put all those packs on sale on blowout pricing on iRedirect.com. There's still some great things left, so make sure you hit iRedirect.com and grab those fem seeds, grab those reg seeds while they are on blowout pricing. They will never be this cheap again, so make sure you go hit iRedirect and support that inventory reduction sale. That will go either until the end of the month or until packs are sold out. Then at the start of the month, I will restock. There will be new pricing and new products. So if things are running low, things you're not looking for are in stock, come back in the first of the month and there will be a lot of new things and a lot of restocks and new pricing. So hit iRedirect.com. Also join that newsletter on iRegenetics.com to stay up to date for that fresh drop. All right, I think that covers all of the business to be done here at the start of the podcast. Let's work our way into the question and answer portion of today's show. I do have a bunch of great emails here in front of me. These emails do come from the Grow Help tab on my website. That's right, iRegenetics.com is my main website. On the top of that website, there is a row of tabs. One of those tabs does say Grow Help or Grow Questions. If you click on that tab, we do give you the opportunity to send me your Grow question. If you send me a question and I read that question here on the podcast, you will receive a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iRedirect.com. Today's first question came from somebody who wants to be called Vista Del Loco. Big shout out to my buddy Vista Del Loco. Thank you for the great question. Make sure you check your inbox because you do have a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iRedirect.com. The question from my new friend goes just like this. It says, Yo, Rasta Jeff, I've got a breeder and etiquette question. This is a great question and a great way to kick off a podcast. I do appreciate this. It says, I want to grow my own strain for myself and I want to give it to my friends and family. I would like to say this is a strain that I made. I understand that. That's kind of how I got started. There was a lot of pride in making my first strain and I made the seeds. I selected a male. I selected a female. I put them together. They made seeds. I had to wait a long time for those seeds to be ready. It felt like forever. Then they were ready. Then the best part was growing those. And then when my friends were smoking it, they're like, bro, what is this? And I was like, bro, I bred that. I made that. Nobody else ever will have that because that is my shit. I completely understand the pride, the enthusiasm, and the excitement behind this idea. And I fully support it. And I want you to do it. So let me give you some guidance here. It says, do I just take a male from Raw Genetics and a female from iRegenetics and voila, I made my own strain? Kind of, yes. And I recommend those two breeders. Those are Raw and myself. That our stuff works well together. I have bred our strains together. Other people in the group in the community have bred our strains, and it does work very well. And I like the idea that you want to start with two different breeders. That is a great way to get started. You're putting two totally different flavor palettes, two wide open projects together, putting that together to make your own stuff. That is a great start. But voila, did I make my own strain? Then he follows up. He says, is it piggybacking off of others? How do I start without ripping someone off, for lack of better term? Thanks for your time. So I understand what you're heading for, and I appreciate the forethought, the sight, the courtesy, the etiquette involved in this question. So if you just want to make these seeds for yourself, if you don't ever plan to sell these seeds, if you don't want to go to market, if you don't want to be a seed producer, a retail seller, you can just take plant A and plant B, throw them together, make seeds, and enjoy. That is fine. That is how it all starts. A lot of breeders are kind of picky. They get a little pissy, a little whiny. They act like little bitches, to be honest with you, when you breed with their work. I don't find that to be reasonable. They bred with other people's work. They did not invent, we did not invent cannabis. None of us breeders on the market today, in the past, or in the future invented this plant. We are all stewards of this plant. We are all here to represent this plant in the best way that we can. None of us invented it. So you're welcome to breed with my seeds, raw genetic seeds, any other breeder out there. You are welcome and allowed to breed with their seeds, especially if you just want to make something for yourself, for the basement, for your grow, to smoke with the homies, to say, I did this, I'm proud. Now, if you want to go a little bit further, if you ever plan on selling these seeds, there is a little more etiquette involved in here. At that point, I would take a male and a female, and this is just, this used to be, and I'm not sure if James Bean still is, if this is his requirement, but James Bean is the founder of Seeds Here Now. And if a breeder approaches him and he did what you said, just took Raw and Irie and threw them together and made a seed, James Bean would probably tell you, I don't want to vend those seeds, do a little bit more work. Because here is what probably, possibly, kind of should be done, just with a little bit of etiquette. This is, in my opinion, a step that you should possibly do just to give yourself some credit, some validity in this breeding project. Take your plant A and plant B like you plan to do. Grow them out. Find a male or a female that you really love. But I recommend find a male to start with and use that male to pollinate other plants that you really enjoy. So create your own male and then use that male to do some work with. And then you've done some work with my gear and with Brad from Raw. You've taken our stuff and made something, which is cool. That's our work put together. You did that. But then find a male out of that and put that to some other shit. Maybe one of my other strains, one of Brad's other strains, and then even do one of somebody else's other strains. I don't know, Mr. Soul. Pick a Brothers Grimm strain, and pick a Jinx Proof strain, and breed your creation to four or five other breeder stuff just to branch it out a little bit and put some work behind it. Don't just take the blue paint from Sherwin-Williams and smear it on canvas and say, I painted. Take that blue paint, mix it with some green paint, and then smear that shit on canvas. Then you kind of did something. If you take that blue and green and mix it together, and then you paint a stripe and put a red stripe next to it, now you're making some art of your own. That's the best way that I think I can kind of explain that. Now, there are a lot of breeders out there that are going to throw a fit. A lot of breeders will get upset if you breed with their gear and put their seeds to market. Some of those breeders, I may reach out to them if you want to. I'm not going to even list who they are. Let's talk about the Jack the Ripper that I bred with. I breed with a Jack the Ripper male. That Jack the Ripper is Subcool's male. That is not, I did not make that, but I use that male in my breeding project. How do I feel ethical about that? How do I feel okay selling those seeds? First of all, rest in peace, Subcool. Subcool passed away. He's not using it anymore. He's not going to sell those seeds. He's not losing anything off of me recreating or keeping that plant alive. Subcool and I had a lot of great conversations. He taught me a lot of great things about the plant, about the industry, about life. He taught me a lot of what to do. Also, you guys know very well, Subcool taught me a lot of what not to do. He was a good example for this industry. There was no map or no roadmap of how to do these businesses, and Subcool kind of showed me how to do it in his own way. He didn't teach me the business. I learned it by watching, but Subcool was a big influence to me. Let me get myself back on track. But Subcool was my friend. Subcool was my mentor. Subcool taught me a lot of things. Subcool taught me what to do and what not to do in this industry. So when Subcool passed, I wanted to honor Subcool, and I felt that Jack the Ripper should be continued. It's something that it's an amazing strain. It need to keep It needed to be out in the world still. It didn't need to disappear just because Sub was gone. And it was a way for me to honor my friend Subcool, take his Jack the Ripper plant, use the mail, make another generation of Jack the Rippers, and put that to my stuff so that Subcool and I could collab. So I used that Jack the Ripper. I used that mail to make further Jack the Ripper generations. And then I also used that Jack the Ripper mail to outcross to my stuff to do some collabs with Subcool after he passed to show love to Subcool. Now, something I did out of respect, out of etiquette, that I just felt was right to the industry, to the business, to my relationship to the plant, to my relationship to Subcool. I reached out to Subcool's. They were divorced when he passed away, so I'm not sure the technical word there. I'm going to say widow. I reached out to Subcool's widow and business partner, Miss Jill, and I said, hey, Jill, Sub's gone. I want to breed with Jack the Ripper. May I have your blessing to do so? So I reached out to the person that was closest to this plant and said, hey, I know this is part of your company. Can I breed with this? And Jill politely said, hey, Sub's gone. I don't want Jack the Ripper. That's fair game. Do what you would like to do. Thank you for reaching out. So big shout out to Jill for giving me the blessing to breed with Jack the Ripper. Now, where I'm headed with this is there are a few breeders out there that are publicly pissy about people breeding with their work. They talk about it on the internet. They talk about it online. If you choose to breed with some of their work, maybe reach out and say, hey, whoever breeder, I plan on breeding your plant to this plant. What is your protocol? What is your etiquette? They could be a total dick about it. They could be cool about it. If you're going to sell those seeds, they may have a problem with it. But like I said before, they don't own cannabis, bro. They did not invent cannabis. Ask them where they got the plants and seeds that they started their breeding company with. They used some, we all, every one of us, I don't care how far back we go, every one of us breeders that is selling seeds is using somebody else's plants somewhere on the line. None of us invented cannabis plants. We didn't fart a plant out of the sky. We didn't manifest one. We didn't AI generate one. We didn't 3D print one. We used a plant that somebody else bred somewhere along the line. So to say that you can't work with somebody else's gear and sell seeds is hypocritical in my mind. And also, I love the healing aspect, the community, the cannabis plant more than I care about intellectual property rights. There are some things I do care about. Don't steal my strain names. Don't steal my artwork. Don't be a dick like that. But cannabis seeds, get them out there, grow them. Get those everywhere. Breed them. Make more. Get everybody growing. Get everybody growing the best ganja that they possibly can. That's the whole point of this podcast. Overgrow the government. Grow the best we can. Get everybody on top of the cannabis plants. All right, I am fucking super rambly. I wish I remembered what I smoked before this podcast because I would tell you, and you could get some too, and you could feel as good as I do. My dude Vista, this was a great question, but like I said, if you take plant A, plant B, breed them together, you've made your own project. If you're satisfied with that, also make a predictive goal. Before you do this, write down a goal and say, I want these plants. I hope these plants do this. Then you know if you hit your goal. If you hit your goal, you got something to brag about. That is your first cross. You can claim it. I would then find a male out of that. Maybe even find a female and F2 it. But the first thing I would do, find a boy and then hit some other girls. And that is your breeding project right there that you can talk about. That is your true work. So yes, the first run counts. The second one is when you can actually do something with those seeds if you choose to. My dude, thank you for the great question. You got me rambling quite well. Make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. All right, let's keep this momentum going. I've got another great question here in front of me. This one also came from that Grow Help tab on iredirect.com. This one came from my buddy Mike D. Shout out to Mike D. Make sure you check your inbox because once again, you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. The question from my buddy Mike D goes a little bit like this. It says, yo, Rasta Jeff, I am in week 7 of flower, and I would like to try to change my light cycle back to the 18-6 schedule, which you promote. It's a very good idea. I endorse that. I recommend it. I think you'll be happy with it. It says, when I switch this up, what DLI should I shoot for? Everything I read about says a shorter light cycle in flower is better, and I don't want to damage my plants or waste extra electricity if it's not necessary. Thanks for all you've taught me, and I appreciate you. This is a great question. Let me recap really quickly what I'm talking about, then I'll explain my reply, my response, my answer here. Now, let me recap a little bit about this question in case you're new to the podcast. For a while now, I've been recommending a new light schedule. Toward the end of the flowering cycle, when most people would begin to flush, I don't know if you flush or not, that's a whole other topic, a whole other podcast, but when most people would begin to flush, that last 10 to 14 day period of your flowering period, I recommend changing the light cycle. We should be on probably a 12-12 cycle for flowering. What I recommend is changing that light cycle to 18 hours on and 6 hours off. Now, most people, when they hear this the first time, they think I am completely crazy. I've been called a lot of prime words because of this idea. But the only people that think this is a bad idea are the people who have not tried it. The people who have done this have all reported great results with the 18 hours on and 6 hours off at the end of the flowering cycle. My theory is that light is the number one source of energy for our plants. At the end of the flowering cycle, why wouldn't we give our plants as much light as we possibly can to beef them up? When they get more light, they can photosynthesize more. They're going to get bigger, they're going to get beefier, and they're going to finish a little bit more quickly because there's just more process happening. So a lot of people are going to say, won't that cause your plants to re-veg? No, because we're going to cut them down way before they've even got that opportunity. Re-veg takes closer to 3 weeks to even start. We're going to cut these down 10 to 14 days in this process. You have no fear, no concern of a re-veg process. So, quick recap. At the end of flower, the last 10 to 14 days, I recommend putting your light cycle back on to 18 hours on and 6 hours off. And then pay attention to those trichomes because they're going to ripen up more quickly than you are familiar with. And then you can harvest a little bit earlier and you will have beefier, more dense buds, possibly even more weight at the end of harvest. So this listener wants to try the 18-6 cycle, but they've got a question about the DLI. They said, what DLI should I shoot for? Because everything else I read was about a shorter light cycle. Yes, there are other educators out there, other breeders, other growers that do talk about a shorter light cycle. That will work. You will see results. But I believe if you try what I am preaching one time, compare that to those other light cycles, I think you will be happy with this 18-6. Now, the question is, what DLI should I shoot for? Honestly, here is a really simple answer. I don't have a DLI number for you in any way, shape, or form. Whatever the DLI is in your room now with those lights on at 12:12, just simply change the timer. That's all you got to do. A lot of people ask me questions about this adjustment. They want to know, do I increase the lights? Do I turn down the lights? Do I change the spectrum? Do I move the lights? No. The only thing I can recommend, the only thing I do, I change the timer. I don't move the lights. I don't change the spectrum. I don't even check the DLI. If I'm on 12:12, I add 6 hours. That's all I do. And that's what I would recommend for you as well. I understand that we all like a metric. I understand that we like some sort of reading, some sort of data, some sort of info we could write down. But in this scenario, I've never bothered to do that because that wasn't part of my experiment, part of my idea. It didn't matter to me because I knew that whatever I was getting, I want 6 hours more. That was just the thought process in there. I understand that you want data, metrics, analytical points that we can write down, but that's not where I was headed with this. I've been growing cannabis, really good cannabis, way before we had all this technology, way before I had access to, before I even knew what DLI and VPD and all that shit was. I was doing it intuitively. I was watching the plants and seeing how the plants respond to light stress, abuse, whatever. And that's how I know how to manipulate the plant, is by seeing what has happened. My pH pen is one of my favorite tools, but beyond that, I don't need a lot of, and probably my hygrometer. I need to know how hot and cold it is in the room and what the humidity is in there. So I've got a VPD monitor now that tells me all of that. But back in the day, I didn't need any of that stuff. I look at the plants. The plants tell me almost everything I need to know about that grow room. I look at the timer, make sure the timer is set right, make sure the VPD is in line, and then look at the plants. If the plants are doing one thing, it means this. If the plants are doing the other thing, it means this. Have you ever just reached out and touched your plants to see if they're hot or cold? Remember when you were little and your mom would touch your cheek and say, you're cold, you need a jacket. You do the same thing to your plants. If you think they're getting cold, reach out and touch them. If they feel cold, they're probably cold. Crank up the heat in the room, add more light, do something like that. My point is, I don't have a perfect DLI number for you because I never, that wasn't part of my experiment, part of my project here. I noticed when I gave them more light, they performed better and finished earlier. And the way I gave them more is whatever I was giving them, 6 hours more. So I know you wish that I had a data point. I wish I did too, but plus 6 hours is my algebra for you here. My dude, Mike D, you got me rambling pretty good. Whatever I've been smoking has me rambling pretty good. So thanks for the rambling point. Once again, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Before we jump into this next question, please remember to hit like and subscribe. That's right, like the video and please hit subscribe. That way, every time I put out a new video, you will get a notification. You will not miss any of this fine, high quality cannabis content. We do have another question here in front of me. This one came from my friend Vermont Red Eye. Big shout out to my buddy Vermont Red Eye. Make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Also, make sure you check that spam folder because sometimes those coupon codes go to the spam and I don't want you to miss your free seeds. All right, this is a great question. It says, yo, Rasta Jeff, if a plant you are making seeds with gets powdery mildew, are those seeds guaranteed to have powdery mildew inside of them? I can't wait till the next drop. Thanks for your breeding. This is a very good question. I like this. There are two different thought processes that my brain head down when we talk about this question. So let me try to unwrap both of them slowly and we'll figure this out together. So what this person is asking, if you've got a plant and you pollinated it and there are seeds inside of that plant, if this plant gets attacked by powdery mildew, will those seeds have powdery mildew inside of them? The answer to that is quickly no. Powdery mildew does not work like that. The babies will not be born with powdery mildew. That does not work that way. There could, however, be powdery mildew on the outside of the seed, which is a completely different story. It is not in the seed. It is on the outside, which means it can be removed and sanitized. It's two totally different things. So it may be on the outside, the powdery mildew may be on the outside of that seed, but it is not within that seed. So if you clean the outside, it can be sanitized, it can be removed. That is very easy to do. Now, what we're talking about here is kind of a question about epigenetics. This may be the first time I've brought up epigenetics here on this podcast. Let me explain it very simply. I don't understand epigenetics on a scientific level. I understand it on a very rudimentary level. The way that I can explain it in a way that I think we will all understand is if a living organism faces a problem, adversary, the same sort of, we'll jump right to the point. If a cannabis plant, over several generations, if a cannabis plant is attacked with powdery mildew, eventually epigenetics will create an evolutionary cure for that problem. And now this is where I've got two different schools of thought, because part of me would say, well, find plants that aren't susceptible to powdery mildew and breed with those. But also, this is how you generate plants that are not susceptible to powdery mildew, so breed with those. Two different schools of thought here. Follow along. This may be an environmental issue, and any plant we put in this region is going to get powdery mildew. So if you had a grow room that every time you put plants in there, they get powdery mildew, something I may think of doing, this is just a wild idea, but let's breed in that room. And let's breed in that room for 10 generations. And maybe the 10th generation, that plant will realize powdery mildew is not going away. I've got to do something about it. Eventually, those seeds will start to build a defense and an immunity, a resistance to powdery mildew. And that is how you can breed that in there, is by doing it multiple times. Putting a plant, so we take a plant, put it in the room, it'd get powdery mildew. We take seeds out, grow those plants, put plants in that room again. The one that got the least amount of powdery mildew in that same condition, select that one, breed to that plant, pollinate that plant, pull the progeny from those, the plant out of that generation that gets the least amount of powdery mildew, breed to that again, but keep that room fucked up so we get powdery mildew in there every time and keep pulling out the one with the least amount of powdery mildew generation after generation. And I think that epigenetics, evolutionary time, over generations, will teach this plant, powdery mildew is going to fucking happen. You got to be ready for it. And eventually we will breed plants that don't get powdery mildew. That is one school of thought. My other school of thought is, why don't we breed plants? Why are you putting shit in the room that gets powdery mildew? But that is how you do it. So I would also say, if a plant gets powdery mildew in your room, don't breed to it. But we've got this, this chamber of death here that we've set up. So that is one way to kind of breed out powdery mildew or breed in powdery mildew resistance to plants over generations. Keep getting them powdery mildew and select the best one, put it in there, select the best one, put it in there. But also while you're doing this, my side B thought over here says, take that same plant and put it in a normal environment and see if it gets powdery mildew in there. See if it's just, if it's going to get it in normal environments or if it only gets it from this heavy room. Test it in normal conditions and stressful conditions would be my thought process to that. That's my breeder brain wanting to be, what is it called, redundant on seeing how healthy these plants are, how resistant they are. So no, the answer is no, there will not be powdery mildew inside of your seed, but there could be on the outside of the seed, which is why many people use a light dilution, a light solution of diluted hydrogen peroxide when they're germinating seeds. I don't do that. I don't recommend that. I feel that that wipes off all of the living microbes we want right off of that plant. I do something a little bit different. I choose to put microbes. I introduce my own microbes into that soil, into that seed life before it's got a chance to get attacked. Of course, I do use recharge is what I use. I add a little bit of recharge to that germination water or that soil. And what that recharge will do, it's already colonizing beneficial bacteria, so there's no room for the negative bacteria to get in. No problems get in there, can get in there. My security guards, if you will. Big shout out to Scotty Real. Scotty Real, a shout out for the recharge. Use some recharge to prevent that sort of that powdery mildew problem. But they will not be on the inside of the seed. The zygote will not contain powdery mildew, but quite the opposite. If you breed several generations like I was talking about, you can breed powdery mildew resistance into that plant. So my dude, Vermont Red Eye, thank you for the great question. Very unique idea, very unique question. We haven't heard something like this. And I got to sound smart by talking a little bit about epigenetics. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, pimps, hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, skateboarders, and fruit booters. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to another episode of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you support the show on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/growfromyourheart. All the information you need to support the show will be right there. If I did not read your question on today's podcast, please do not feel discouraged. I have got a mountain of emails here in front of me. This is the stack that I have picked that I'm going through for the next couple of shows. This is just a small portion of what I've got lined up. So have no fear. If I didn't read your question on today's show, I'm not done with the podcast. There are more episodes coming. Still have plenty of opportunities to win more free seeds. So keep those good questions coming. Once again, that Grow Help tab is on my website, iregenetics.com. Click that Grow Help tab. Send me your questions. If I read the question here, free seeds for you, my dude. Everything else you could possibly need is on that website, iregenetics.com. There's a link to my Discord server, a link to the Patreon, a link to get the seeds at iRedirect. There's a link to get merchandise. You can grab the hats, grinders, rolling trays, a lot of good stuff still available in the merch store. Once again, everything is available at iregenetics.com. All right, I'm sure you can hear my voice getting dry and burning out. That is my cue to wrap up the show and get out of here. It's time to go get some hydration and some dabs. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my buddy, Your Mailman Grows. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad mother.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece and then I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, Pokemon, relax. Oh.